said, "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And we've talked about some of these minor keys. We know what the major keys are. We know that faith is a key that will give you access to certain things in the kingdom of God. We know that love is a key. We know that prayer is a key. But there are some smaller keys that we need to recognize and talk about more often, because these are areas that are very important and critical to our lives on a daily basis. And if we don't understand how to operate these keys, it can hinder us from enjoying life the way God desires for us to live, and it'll hinder us in relationships, it'll hinder us in so many ways, and you'll find that there will be doors that remain closed to you simply because you have not put the right key in the door and turned it. So, up to this point, we've looked at four small keys. The first is the law of attention, Proverbs chapter 4. And I won't go through and rehearse everything we've taught so far. You know, "My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." There are benefits to being attentive to God's word. One of the major benefits is healing and health. My words, they're life to those that find them, and health, medicine to all their flesh. One of the other principles that goes along with the law of attention is simply this: your desires follow your attention. So if you give your attention to the things of God, your desires will follow. But if you give your attention to the wrong thing, guess what? That law still works. Your desires follow your attention. The second thing we looked at was it's important that that we seek, if you will, godly wisdom. There are benefits to seeking after the wisdom of God, and it's found all throughout the book of Proverbs and all throughout the scripture. So that was the second little key that we looked at. Last week, we talked about two other little keys, and I call them the quick ones. What are the quick ones? Well, be quick to repent when you miss it. When you miss it, don't wait 10 minutes. Don't wait 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years. Repent. The word repent means change. In other words, make the adjustment. You know, I like a saying that Ed Cole used to say many, many years ago. He said, and he dealt mainly with men, you know, his ministry focused on men. And he said, "Men, your wives don't want to hear about your good intentions. They want to see results." Amen? And so he said, if you're going to repent, repent. He said the word repent in the Greek is metanoia. It means change. And he said this: change is not change until it's change. So when you miss it, be quick to repent. And be quick to forgive. All of us are going to be offended in life. It's going to happen, sure as you're born. You have to learn how to forgive folk. If you don't, it can hinder you in doors that hold things that belong to you will never be opened. In fact, the only major hindrance to faith that Jesus ever really talked about was unforgiveness. In Mark 11, 25, "And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any." And so that's something we must be quick to do. Those are keys that are very important. Last week, we began to look at the fourth key called honor. And if you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and let's touch upon this key again, honor. Ephesians chapter 6, a very familiar passage to all of us. Ephesians 6. And we'll read the first three verses. Now, this is very interesting and very important. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So here's a key that we find in the book of Ephesians, and it's the key of honor. Children obeying their parents, and for all of us to honor our parents, because it's the first commandment that God gave, notice this, that had a promise attached to it. In other words, if you do this, here's what I will do for you. Honor your father and mother that it may be well with you, benefit number one, and that you may live long on the earth, benefit number two. But the key to walking in those two benefits is honor. Now, many times that's a challenging thing to do, only because when we talk about honor, we're really talking about relationships. We're talking about dealing with other people. Everybody say other people.
Other people.
How many of you know sometimes other people can be challenging?
Amen.
That's to put it mildly. Are you with me? Sometimes when you deal with other people, that's where problems arise. Well, let me teach you just for a few minutes about this principle of honor. That way you'll have a clear understanding and you'll be able to live a life of honor and receive the benefit. Now, last week we talked about a tragic story, and that was Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Eli was the high priest. His two sons stood in the office of the priesthood, and they were some wicked dudes. I mean wicked. But Eli made a mistake of not correcting his sons. And the Lord sent another man to Eli and said this to him, "You honor your sons above me. And because you've dishonored me and honored your sons above me, your priesthood's going to be removed. And throughout the rest of your generations, there will not be a man in your family that lives to an old age." Hophni and Phinehas died in one day. When Eli got the news, he fell off his chair, fell backward, and broke his neck. At the same moment, one of Eli's sons' wives was giving birth. And that baby was born the same day, and she named the child Ichabod, or the glory of God has departed. And from that time on, in the house of Eli, no male ever lived to an old age. And so here you see this key in reverse. So if you want to live a long life, learn to live a life of honor. Well, how do we do that? That's what I'm going to share with you here over the next few minutes. And so here we can see that very tragic story in the life of Eli. Now turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. We'll talk about honor. And I want you to see what it is and how it works and how you can live it out in your own life. Proverbs chapter 31. Now this is a very familiar passage to many of us. You know, who can find a virtuous woman? Are y'all with me? You guys remember that one? You know, at the men's fellowship yesterday, we were sharing some good things, and Steve Mooney made some good comments about, you know, sharing with younger men about, you know, marriage and family and stuff like that. When I was about to marry my wife, you know, there were people trying to talk me out of it. "Oh man, what you want to do that for? Ruin your life." I'm serious. That's what people said to me. One guy that I used to work for who owned a supermarket, when I was in college, I worked in a supermarket. He tried to talk me out of it. He didn't even know Peggy. "Oh, Bill, no, no, don't get married, man. Oh, man, wait, go to grad school." And they're just harping on me. They didn't even know the girl. And so I said to him, I said, "Listen to me. I'm going to have the best marriage you've ever seen. You can mark it down." And he looked at me, big guy. His name was Jack, 6'8". He said, "Well, if you feel that strongly about it." And the day Peg and I got married, Jack flew his airplane into Erie International Airport, came to my wedding, all the way from Fayette County, you know. And, you know, he's an easy guy to spot, 6'8", you can find them just about anywhere. Retired Navy guy. And he always tried to get me to go up on the plane with him, but I wouldn't because he was deaf in one ear and he couldn't hear the instructions from the tower. Now, air traffic control didn't know that. You know, but they were frustrated with him because he'd always ask him to repeat the instructions. You know, turn left, vector, whatever, 10,000. He'd say, huh? What? You know, I said, no, I ain't flying with you. Thank God for Jack. Amen? But I was going around telling people, because they were all apprehensive, oh man, you're going to get married? Your life is over. I got a cough drop on my lip or something. Anyway, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains the favor of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I said, I'm going to get married and I'm going to end up being God's favorite.
Amen.
And they thought, ooh, okay, a little different take. Well, there's some truth to that. Amen. There's power in it when you believe it and you practice it.
Amen.
Now, notice Proverbs chapter 31. I want to show you something, and we're going to spend a little bit of time here. Notice this. Proverbs chapter 31, let's look at one verse, verse 25. Talking about the virtuous woman or the virtuous wife. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. Strength and honor are her clothing. Now that word honor in the Old Testament is a Hebrew word, hadar. And the word hadar is found all throughout the Old Testament, and it reflects this principle of honor. And the word hadar literally means something that's majestic or has splendor. And I like to think of it like this. If a wife is not honored, then she's really not dressed properly. Can you see what I'm talking about? And so as men, as husbands, it's our responsibilities to honor our wives, and that honor helps them be majestic and beautiful. Are you with me? Now, what does it mean to honor? What does it mean to honor somebody? I want you to write these down. I'm going to give you the definition of honor. Hebrew, hadar. And the word literally means magnificence, splendor, or beauty. Now, in the New Testament was not written in Hebrew, but rather is written in Greek and Aramaic. And there are four words that are translated honor. The first one is a little word, doxa, D-O-X-A. And the word doxa means honor or praise. Doxa. Jesus spoke about doxa at one point when he said of the Pharisees, you guys are missing it because you seek honor one of another instead of seeking the honor that only comes from God. And so, you know, I have buddies and acquaintances in ministry where honor is very important to them. You know, you if you don't address them the right way, if you don't call them by the right title, then they think you have dishonored them and disrespected them. And I've had a few of them correct me. You know, I'd say, hey, Reverend so-and-so, that's doctor. That's bishop. Whoa. Excuse me, man. You know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I'll tell this story again. John Maxwell, who's a very prolific author, and he's written a lot of books on relationships. He pastored a very large church in Colorado for a season. And after one of the services, he was going to his car. He had a guest minister with him. And one of the parishioners from his church came up to him and said, oh, John, just thank you so much. That was such a wonderful sermon. You don't know how that changed my life. Thank you again for obeying God and hearing from the Lord. And he said, well, bless you. And she walked off. The guest minister said, did you hear what she said? He said, what? He said, did you hear what she said? He said, yeah. What about it? She called you John. He said, well, it is the name my mama gave me. He said, but she didn't call you reverend or doctor. He said, listen, I don't need a title to feel comfortable with who I am.
Amen.
He said, people who need that, this is John Maxwell said this, need therapy. That's what John said. John said that.
Amen.
John Maxwell said that. Read his book. It's in there. Are you with me? So here Jesus is dealing with a culture and with a religious faction that was so hungry for doxa. You've got to give me that honor and praise. And they wanted it from men instead of receiving what really matters from God. So that word doxa literally means praise or honor. Now, there's a derivative of that word, doxazo. D-O-X-A-Z-O. Doxazo. And doxazo literally means to magnify something, to make it bigger. You know, the Bible says in the Old Covenant, oh, magnify the Lord with me. We all need to do that. Now, stay with me here. I'm going to teach you about honor and how to apply it and how you can be blessed by living a life of honor. There are two other Greek words that we need to understand. The first one is timeo, T-I-M-A-O, timeo. And that word timeo is the word found in Ephesians chapter 6. And it means to value something or to revere it, to hold it as precious. And so when the Bible says honor your father and mother, it means that you need to revere them and honor them, see them as being valuable and precious to you.
Amen.
Are you with me? And so that's that word timeo. And then there's another derivative of that word, time. And it's spelled like time, T-I-M-E, pronounced time. Now the word time literally means to value something, but it literally means money paid. Literally means there's value attached to it that's tangible. Money paid for something. Now, let's talk about these words and how we can incorporate this principle of honor into our life. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. So we're all supposed to honor our parents, but honor goes deeper than just honoring mom and dad. You know, I came from a family where my parents divorced when I was a teenager, and so I had some challenges. My parents, my mother was a Christian, my father was not for a long period of time. They had a very tumultuous relationship. But I had to learn how to honor both of them. Everybody say both.
Both.
It took me some time to get there, but I got there. But I love my mother, I love my father, and I honored them. The only thing I knew was I couldn't get them together because there'd be problems, you know what I mean? But as long as they were apart, everything was cool. And so I respected my father, I respected my mother, and I also respected their parents. One of the men who had the most influence over me in my life was my grandfather. He was there when my father wasn't. My grandfather taught me a lot of things, and the age gap between us was huge. I mean, he was 50 years older than me. But he taught me some things as a 12-year-old that I still practice to this day. And not only that, I saw it in his life. He practiced what he taught. I should say like this, he taught what he practiced. Most people try to practice what they teach instead of teaching what they already practice. There's a difference, you know. Notice 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want to show you something here. Is it warm in here to you guys?
Yeah?
Okay. Wow, it's down to 62. Y'all make it hot in here for some reason. Hallelujah, have that good praise and worship, man. Get everybody moving. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, I'm going to read a little bit. Let's start at verse 7. Now, let's look at this principle of honor. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. Who's the them he's talking about? Wives. Dwell with them according to knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge revealed by the Word. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, or just the opposite, blessing. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Notice verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Now here, Peter is talking about everyday husband-wife family relationships. Say this with me, nitty-gritty stuff.
Nitty-gritty
stuff. Y'all know what that means by now, right? That's one of my mama's old sayings, you know, get right down to the real nitty-gritty. She probably got it from a song somewhere. I'm pretty sure she did. She did. But we all know what it means, don't we?
Amen.
This is the stuff that we have to deal with every day. And so the great thing about Paul's letter, or Peter's letter, is that he's not dealing with some, you know, great redemptive truth about, you know, principles, but talking about everyday relationships. Now, listen. In our family relationships, we have to honor our wives as the weaker vessel. Doesn't mean they are weaker than us. Now, my wife can do some things that would just freak me out. I can't birth no babies. The thought of it just... I remember when we had DJ, our first one. He'll be 31 in February. Anyway, you know, they had labor and delivery. You know, you say, hey, kiss them, and off they go. The next two, I was there. And I remember it was intense, and I'm thinking, is there anything I can, all I can do is hold her hand and coach her how to breathe. You know, but to do that takes quite a bit of effort, believe me. And so in no way is Peter implying that women are weak. Are y'all with me? But we're to honor them as though they were the weaker vessel. Now, listen to me. When you learn how to do that, it'll cause you to walk in the grace of God in a dimension that perhaps you've never experienced before. Not only does it have an impact on the way your life is lived, but it affects the way your prayers get answered. All too often, men have a misconception about the principle of honor. I like to say it like this: honor begins at home. You with me? Honor begins at home. Honor your wife, reveal her, esteem her highly. Now listen to me. I realize, you know, none of us are perfect. Some of us have missed it in some areas. We made some mistakes. We messed some stuff up. That's all right. God will help you straighten some stuff up. But begin to incorporate honor into your life. And let that honor dictate the way you live, the way you respond, the way you speak. I remember years ago, Peg and I were traveling, and we got invited to a church in Ohio. And, you know, never been there before. They wanted me to come preach on Sunday morning, and so I went and I preached, and it was a smaller church. And I remember right outside the door was this big, brand-new Lincoln Town Car. Nothing wrong with a Lincoln Town Car. You want to drive a Lincoln? Knock yourself out. You can drive freight train if you want to. God don't care what you drive, you know. But the car looked better than the church building did. And then when I went in, you know, I met the preacher. And I noticed, you know, there were just a few women there. And they were all dressed like nurses. You know, it was new to me. I never saw that growing up. Until I got around Pentecostal folks, saw women dressed like nurses. And so this guy looked like he just jumped out of GQ. I mean, he was dressed to the nines. I mean, everything, cufflinks and chains and I'm noticing, and I didn't know who these nurses were. And so I preached that morning, and then he told me, you know, he introduced me to his wife, and I thought, man, she's kind of homely looking and dressed like a nurse and quiet and just, you know, look like a little mouse. And so I'm, you know, and he's barking her around, and I thought, wait a minute, something ain't right here. I remember another story, I'll get back to this story, but another story. Years after that, Peg and I went to dinner I was in Bible college and went to dinner at another brother's house, and This guy was going to, you know, we always used to talk about, what are you going to do when you get out of school? Well, I'm going to pastor church here. I'm going to evangelize. I'm going to go to Russia, whatever. And this guy was going to pastor 3 churches in 3 states. I thought, well, that's quite an ambitious goal, you know. You don't only believe one place at one time. And so we went over to the house for dinner, and they had just had a brand new baby. This baby was weeks old, if I'm not mistaken, not even a month old yet. And so we're there in the living room, and the wife is in the kitchen, and my wife is helping, and the baby started crying. And this guy started barking. He went around the corner of the hallway yelling at his wife, "Shut that baby up! I told you, keep that baby quiet! We got company in here!" I was so embarrassed! I wanted to hide. Like, oh, what is he doing? Does he realize what she just went through to bring that baby into the earth? And the baby, you know, hey. And so he's yelling at her. "I told you, shut that baby up." I couldn't take it anymore. And so I looked at Peg. Peg looked at me. She said, "I'm going to go back and help the wife." So I didn't want to do this in front of his wife. And so Peg went back and help the wife, and the wife's scurrying around trying to get this baby quiet, you know. And so I asked him to step outside. I said, "Hey, you got a minute? Can I talk to you?" "Yeah." So we went outside. Obvious it was his first child. I said, "What are you doing, man?" He said, "Huh?" I said, "Don't ever yell at your wife like that, especially in front of company." I said, "You're dishonoring her." I said, "Number one. Number two, get your head screwed on right. That's what babies do. They cry and they fuss and they do all a lot of other stuff too. Nothing you can do about that. That's the nature of an infant. It's not her fault. What are you doing, man?" You know, because I knew in my heart, if he didn't learn how to treat his wife properly, he wasn't going to do squat. You understand what I mean when I say that? Let alone 3 churches in 3 states, you can forget it. If you don't learn to practice the principle of honor at home, then God will not honor you and enable you to do what he's asked you to do. Amen. Simply because you're not turning the key properly in that door. Amen. And so that's a minor way. Anyway, going back to Ohio, the preacher. You know, wife dressed like a nurse. Nothing wrong with that. You want to dress like a nurse, knock yourself out. All right? I'm not into uniforms. I'm just not. Anyway, so I noticed how he treated his wife. And I thought, boy, that's odd. Something just wasn't right. And then afterwards, he invited my wife and I to dinner. And, you know, at the time, I'll be honest with you, we didn't have any money to go to dinner. We just wanted to get back home. And they gave us an honorarium. I didn't care how much it was. Gave me an envelope. I said, "That's great." I didn't ever look to see how much it was. He said, "Let's go to dinner." I'm thinking, well, whatever it is, I don't want to spend it on dinner. I'd rather go home and eat. And I said, "Nah, well, really?" And he said, No. He said, "It's on me. I want to take you to a fine restaurant. You know, dinner's on me." Okay. He insisted. And so we went to this restaurant. You might think this has nothing to do with the Bible, but it has a lot to do with it. Went to this restaurant and you know, it was a pretty decent restaurant we ordered. And there was another minister who took us over there. He was with us. And I remember we ate and we're sitting around talking, and afterwards when the waiter came by, listen to this now, the waiter comes to the preacher, the pastor, and says, "Is this one check or separate?" He said, "Oh, separate." I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. I was going to go home and eat. You insisted that I go to dinner. Now you want to stick me with this bill. You said you were, I'm thinking this in my mind. Now, I don't want to be disrespectful. I don't want to dishonor the man of God, you know, in a restaurant. So I quietly excused myself and went to the restroom. That's what you do when you're not sure what to do. I went into the restroom and I prayed. I said, "God, you got to get me out of this situation somehow. This is not turning out the way it was supposed to. You know what this guy said. So I just looked for you for grace." You know, in your mind, you picture yourself washing dishes. Working in the kitchen. I got to get home, man. I ain't got time to wash no dishes and sweep the parking lot. You know, what's wrong with this guy? So I went back out and, you know, I didn't say anything about what I prayed or what it hurt. I'm just believing God to get through the meal successfully. And so as the waiter came around with the checks and started to put the check in front of me, the preacher who took us to this church said, oh, no, I've got that. Grabbed it. And I said, well, praise the Lord. Now, why'd I tell you this story? The man had not learned the principle of honor. And it was evident in the way he treated his wife. He dishonored her. So what makes you think he's going to honor me? Or honor anybody else? Are you with me? You learn these principles and practice them where you are. And then they flow from your life as an example of the character of Christ to others. But if you don't master them at home, they won't work anyplace else. Now, I'll show you how people try to fake it. But when you fake it, you'll never make it. You fake it, you'll never make it. Watch this. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're still there. Husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together. That simply means participants together in the grace of life. If you're married, you and your wife are in this thing together. You are heirs together of God's grace. Don't think that you can pull it off by yourself. You need your wife. You need your husband. Peggy is valuable to me. There are times that I deal with things. She sees things that I don't see. She knows things that I don't know. And it took me a while to learn how to listen to the woman. You with me? See, my daddy wasn't that way. My daddy's daddy wasn't that way. But my grandpapa was on my mama's side. And Peg is, she reminded me the other day of my grandmama. Remember the last time I drove with my grandfather, William Mills, in his little Chrysler car. He was 90 years old and still driving. Now, he was fine physically. He used to walk 2 miles a day when he was 90. But he wasn't so great at driving. And so I remember we were in Uniontown, and my grandpapa was driving, and grandma's sitting right up front. She's got a little patent leather purse. You know, she used to hold it by the handle, sit it on her lap. And he pulled up to the intersection. She said, "Watch out, Bill. Watch out now. Watch, yeah, watch if any." "Oh, I know how to drive, woman." You know? "Okay, all right, Bill, go ahead." "Ah, see it?" You know? I still remember those conversations. Those are great. Now, what was happening there? They were watching out for each other. They loved each other. They'd been married almost 70 years. Now, here's the thing. When you don't learn the principle of honor, and you end up, when you're an old man or an old woman, by yourself. You know, all the guys who want to be players end up very lonely at the end of their life if they make it that far.
Amen.
You with me?
Amen.
Now, the word here for honor is the word that it's time. That means a price paid. Now, you need to cherish your wife, cherish your husband as being valuable, irreplaceable. You know, the other day, there was a flag that went on auction at Sotheby's, and it was a Union flag from the Battle of Little Bighorn. Remember that? George Custer? And he and his troops got massacred when they attempted to do some dirt to some Indians out there. Anyway, not a commentary on what happened, but they all were killed. One Union soldier fell, and under him was a Union flag. Still has blood on it, and that flag has been held by some art institute in Michigan for 115 years, I believe. But anyway, that flag went on sale at auction the other day and sold for $1.9 million. A flag. Fits in a frame that size. Now, there are pieces of art that sell for multiple millions of dollars that people take and hang on a wall, or stick in a vault. Normally that's what they do, because they don't want anybody to steal it. Stuck in a vault someplace. Listen to me. When you're old, and you're tired, and you're hurting, that flag's not going to rub your feet.
Amen.
Speak the word of God to you, encourage you, and love you.
Amen.
But your wife, your husband, they'll be there.
Amen.
If you learn to live a life of honor. Amen?
Amen?
And so you place a value on them. They're irreplaceable. And when you value them that way and you esteem them that way, then little things that come along in life are less likely to move you off your commitment, move you off of your love for that person. You with me? Now, we live in a culture that's just gone nuts, but we need to be the ones who are stable like a rock right in the middle of a storm.
Amen?
Amen? All right, let me move on. I'm spending too much time here. We're in 1 Peter chapter 3. Back up to 1 Peter chapter 2, talking about honor. The word in 1 Peter 3 means money paid or to esteem something as being very, very valuable. Now, how do we express honor towards others, getting beyond a marriage relationship or our parents? 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, I want to show you something. Let's start at verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. When you have it, say, I have it.
I have it.
All right, let's get to it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, the word peculiar there doesn't mean odd or goofy looking. It simply means a purchased possession. That you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims that you abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation, that word means lifestyle, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they may speak evil of you, against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Notice verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or as supreme, or unto governors, or as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. Now, let me stop for a moment there. Here he's talking about practical, everyday stuff. We have to understand that as believers in Jesus Christ, we've been called out of darkness. We now walk in the light. And so what he's simply saying is we need to have a lifestyle among unbelievers that is honest. Everybody say honest.
Honest.
Honesty and honor go together. Never let it be said of you as a Christian that people thought you were trying to take advantage of them. I go out of my way to avoid the appearance of taking advantage of people. I'm the guy who goes through the drive-thru and when they give me an extra $100 that I didn't deserve, turn around and give it back. I know some folk who would say, "Woo, praise the Lord! The Lord bless me today! Hallelujah! Glory to God!" You ain't right. Take that money back. I remember many, many years ago, I went to a bank in another state and an older couple, they were well into their late 70s, 80s, had cashed their Social Security or pension checks, and the husband was, you know, they were small and frail, and the wife was helping the husband put his jacket on, and I'm standing in line behind him, and I respect, honor them. Hey, take all the time you want. Not that big a rush. And so she helps the husband get his jacket on, and he helps her get her scarf on, and they, you know, they walk out the front door, you know, arm in arm. And I'm saying, wow, I wonder how long they've been. I'm watching them walk out the door. Then I get up there, right at the teller's window, off to the side, there's an envelope with hundreds of dollars in it. And I knew it was theirs. Now, am I going to walk in honor, or am I going to be dishonorable? Am I going to walk in a cloak of maliciousness? I could have put that in my pocket and said, huh, you know, finders, keepers, losers, weepers, you know how we used to say when we were kids. See, but the love of God on the inside of you constrains you. It was probably their food money for the rest of the month. Doesn't matter if they were poor or millionaires. It wasn't mine. And so I got the teller's attention. I said, hey, that elderly couple, they left some money here. So she sent the security guard running out to the parking lot and brought them back, and they got their money. Now, but there again, some people would have found that cash. Woo, praise the Lord, hallelujah. No, 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 you can quit praising God. That wasn't God. You're taking advantage of somebody. Are you with me? Now, if you'll learn to practice honesty and live honorably, when somebody could take advantage of you, God will stop them. God will stop them from taking advantage of you because you walk and live with honor. And the other thing is, God's my source, not some elderly couple who left their check money on the counter. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. God will always provide, but you got to be honest. Everybody say honest.
Honest.
You know, I often teach about, you know, how to walk in the Spirit and stay away from the flesh. And you know, you never get to the point in life where you can always trust your flesh. You always have to dominate it. You have to control it. But, you know, there's an old expression that people use, you know, dead men tell no lies. Well, they don't steal either.
Amen.
And the Bible says, know ye not that you are dead to sin? Romans chapter 6. And I taught this on the radio one time. I said, you know what? You can go in most churches, leave a bag with $50,000 in it, turn out all the lights, lock all the doors, come back next week, it'll be gone. But go to the morgue. Put 50 grand on the middle table in the morgue. Lock the door, shut out all the lights. I guarantee you 100 years from now that money will still be there. Why? Dead men don't steal. And I taught that on the radio one Sunday morning. And after service, a guy pulled up out here, came into the reception area and said, Pastor Bill, you won't believe what you said on the radio just happened at our church. I'm like, what are you talking about? Christian woman came to church. Somebody stole her purse, took all her money at church. Well, you know, it happens. Everybody's not honest.
Amen.
Now, here's something you have to understand. We're going to read a verse here in a little bit that tells us how to live a life of honor concerning others. In fact, let's turn there now. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We read part of it. All right, verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance. In other words, don't be a lawbreaker. Obey the law. You with me? Verse 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. In other words, live your life. You're free, man, in Jesus. You don't have to be in bondage to anyone or anything. Live like it. Quit living your life afraid. Quit living your life thinking you're a victim. You're not a victim, you're the victor.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ, you have been given victory. Live like it.
Amen.
Depend on God to meet your needs. Put pressure on the Word.
Amen.
Tell God, this is what you promised, and if it don't work, it's on you.
Amen.
Don't worry, He can handle it.
Amen.
That's bold. I've done it. One time I was in a situation, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if I go down, it's on you. I've done everything you've asked me to do. If there's anything else I need to do that I'm not doing, reveal it to me and I'll do it.
Amen.
But if I go down, it's on you. Well, you know He's got your back. He's not going to let you go under. Depend on Him. Quit trying to get over on folk.
Amen.
You with me? I don't know any other way to say it. Now, notice this. Watch this. Verse 17. This is the key. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the King. Now, here in these verses, we're told how to relate to others. And when it says honor all men, it's the Greek word timeo, which means to value or revere them, just like we're supposed to do with our parents. But we're supposed to live a life of honor and exhibit honor to everybody. Now, a little later it says, honor the King. It's the same word, to value or revere them. But then it says, fear God. The word fear here means to have an awesome respect for and a reverence of. All too often people get these verses mixed up. And what they do is they fear men, especially wealthy men. Oh, they hold them in high esteem, revere them and fear them, kowtow to them. Are you with me?
Amen.
And treat everybody else like dirt.
Amen.
and wonder why it doesn't work in your life. We need to honor everybody, whether they're a king, whether they're a regular citizen just like us. Now, listen to me. You can honor them without trusting them. See, honor doesn't mean you open yourself up to get taken advantage of. See, we have a commandment to love. Did you know that? This is His commandment, that we love one another and believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. I've got to extend to you agape. I love you unconditionally. But it doesn't mean I have to trust you. Y'all, can y'all see the difference? You honor all men. Doesn't mean you trust them all. Because everybody's not trustworthy. Everybody say real stuff. This is where we live. Honor all men. That means you see them as being valuable and precious in the eyes of God, so they're valuable and precious to you. And God will warn you when you run into the ones who are trying to take advantage of you.
Amen.
Honor the king. Now, why would He say honor all men, fear God, honor the king? Well, you have to understand that most kings in that day were not godly men. They were quite wicked and very brutal. In fact, many of these kings killed Christians for sport. And yet Peter's writing says, honor the king. Revere the king. Now, that doesn't mean you have to submit to his ungodly laws. You obey the law as long as it doesn't contradict God's law. Are you with me? But we should live a life of honor. I had a man say to me many, many years ago, he said, you know what I like about you? I didn't know what was coming next. I had no idea. And so I said, what's that? He said, I know if I left you a bag with $1 million in it and came back a year from now, I'd still have $1 million. And I said to him, well, hopefully you'd have a little bit more. In other words, he says, I can trust you. Honor. Now, he hadn't given me that million yet. We're going to do good things with $1 million. Hallelujah. Now, the principle is this. Be trustworthy. Live a life of honor. Quit trying to get over on folk, all right? When you live your life that way, trying to get over on folk, that's a lack of faith in God's provision. God's your Father. He's the one you need to really have a fear of. You with me? Not like you're afraid of Him, but an awesome respect for God. Because men can do and say whatever they want, but God is the one who will ultimately give you victory in life. All right? So if we learn to live honorably, then God will honor us and we can experience His grace in a wonderful way. Amen?
Amen?
You know, I had a conversation the other day with a man who just moved here from Michigan. And he's looking for a church. And I said, well, give me your email address. I'll send you some stuff. And he told me about a church he had visited. And he said, man, he said, I can spot a pimp a mile away. I just had this conversation last week. I'm honest. I wouldn't lie to you. He said, I can spot a pimp a mile away. He said, the guy'd be better off standing on the corner instead of behind the pulpit. Now, I don't know where he went and who he was talking about. You with me? That's what he said to me. And I don't know where it was, all right? But he just moved into our area. But we need to live a life of honor. You with me? You want to know how honest a guy is? You want a little tip? I remember a story years ago, a guy got up and ministered and preached, and one guy said to another fellow, man, that guy's anointed of God. What a powerful preacher. What do you think? He said, I don't know. I haven't met his wife yet. She knows how anointed he really is. You with me? Did you guys learn anything today?
Amen.
I didn't mean the medal. I'm just doing my job. Would you stand up with me, please? Amen.